A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. As they were coming down from the mountain, the disciples asked Jesus, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He said in reply, "Elijah will indeed come and restore all things, but I tell you that Elijah has already come." And they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also will the Son of Man suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. This is the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can't ever hear about Elijah without thinking about that famous black spiritual "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot." This song describes the dramatic departure of Elijah from his successor, the astonished Elisha, in a chariot and horses of fire. Elijah was the great figure who found God on Mount Horeb, not in the wind and not in the earthquake, but in a whisper. Today's gospel passage from Matthew follows immediately upon the story of the Transfiguration. Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John up another mountain, such places being the traditional places of encounter with God. Unlike the whispered experience of Elijah, the revelation here was visual. There they saw a vision of the glorified Jesus, with Moses, the lawmaker, on one side, and Elijah, the prophet, par excellence, on the other. Clearly, the message here is that Jesus is accompanied by, supported by, and guided by the greatest of those who went before him. He is affirmed in his mission. His time had come, and his disciples were witnesses of that awesome moment. And yet, as they reluctantly descend the mountain together, there are questions, of course. Who wouldn't have questions after an incident like that? What did it all mean for Jesus and for them, too? Was this it? The historical moment for which the Jewish people had been preparing for centuries? They had been taught that Elijah would precede the Messiah, that he would restore all things. Sirach tells us in today's first reading that Elijah was destined to put an end to wrath before the day of the Lord, to turn back the hearts of fathers toward their sons, and to reestablish the tribes of Jacob. Peter, James, and John wonder how this all fits in with the mission of Jesus. The response of Jesus to them clarifies, at least for this moment, the mystery of God's intervention in the world. It isn't about power, the way the world understands power. It isn't about the domination of one person or group of people over another. It's about the redemptive power of nonviolence and the restorative power of love that inevitably leads to suffering. This is the power of Elijah, a kind of power that he learned in the whispering voice of God. This is the power of John the Baptist, who wished nothing more than to move over and make room for Jesus. Certainly then, this is also the power of Jesus, the promised Messiah, the long-awaited one, who stands on the threshold of our lives this Advent season, ready to be invited into our wounded world. Do we recognize him? Are we ready to join forces with him, to carry on our prophetic mission to proclaim God's saving word?